heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and I'm excited to be with you this morning to share some of God's word. This program is intended to be kind of your spiritual cup of coffee. And on this show, we share faith journeys and testimonies, and we're thankful that you're joining us this morning. We like to start the program with a scripture reading. I have two scripture verses that I want to share with you. They're both about faith, and they're both verses that have kind of gotten a hold of me this week. The first one is from the New Testament. It's from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, says this: "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. If you haven't visited the book of Hebrews in a while, do it. And that chapter 11 is incredible. Now I'm going to read one from the book of Romans, also the New Testament. This is chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is writing in reference to Abraham in the Old Testament. And so chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, Paul writes this about Abraham: "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised." Romans chapter 4. On this show, we talk about the book of Romans a lot. The entire book is amazing, but chapter 4, pick that up, have a read with it. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in with us on the program. I'm so excited to have Gabe Turner, lead pastor at the Point Church of Charlottesville. Gabe, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
It is an honor to be with you, Jeff. Thank you for the opportunity.
I tell you, when I think about your story and the story of the Point Church, and then I was just reading from the book of Romans where Paul was referencing Abraham and the promises of God, I do sort of kind of get caught up in your journey, because if you wouldn't mind, and I didn't preface this before we started the show, but could you kind of tell the listeners again, maybe start with where are we with the Point Church, the here and now, and then maybe pull the lens back a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So the here and now is that we recently, back in September, took a huge step and we moved into our permanent facility here for our Charlottesville campus. And earlier in the summer, back in July, we actually launched a second campus in Louisa. And so we've really had a lot of exciting things happening in our more recent history. But our story as a church plant goes back to, I guess it's been almost 12 years ago now, when we first moved here to Charlottesville from seminary to plant the Point. And it was just an incredible journey. We moved in the summer of 2009, early summer 2009. And then we launched publicly our first service at Monticello High School in October 11th of 2009. And so it's just been an incredible journey now. This fall, we'll be celebrating 12 years as a church. That's kind of crazy. And, you know, I remember, Jeff, you were one of the first people that I had met here in Charlottesville when I was getting kind of acclimated to the community. And so it's so cool to to continue our friendship over these years. And I'm so grateful for you and how God is using you in this area.
Well, and congratulations on your faithfulness through the journey, because, you know, you sort of just skipped right through the part where it was, you know, over a decade at Monticello High School, right?
Yes, and that's right. That's exactly right.
It's not easy to set up and take down a church. I mean, that was a lot of work. Week in and week out. And again, when I connect this back to faith, and again, I'm not trying to compare you to Abraham here, but it seems a little Abrahamic that God says to you, go to Charlottesville, start this church. And by the way, it's going to happen. So just believe
in it. Well, you know, really a similarity is that, you know, Abraham's story is ultimately part of a, like, God's larger redemptive story, right? That's history. History is his story. And so ultimately, like, Abraham's story is part of this larger redemptive story of God that's unfolding, you know, creation, fall, redemption, and then the restoration that's to come. And so, you know, when I think of that, even when we moved here to Charlottesville to plant the Point, I mean, there are several, so many amazing churches in Charlottesville. And so it wasn't like we were bringing anything new. We were just kind of merging into what God was already doing, you know, part of a bigger story, a redemptive story of God moving. And so, you know, it's really been an amazing journey, and it's just an honor. It's just such an honor to be a part of the community, to be a part of this region and what God is doing through it. And, you know, it's been awesome. It's been so cool to see what God is doing, not just through the Point, but through so many churches, through so many businesses, through even the University of Virginia, and, you know, the what's happening through FCA there and other ministries on grounds. We were just talking a little bit about the Navigators and just so many amazing ministries. And it's just cool. God is moving and we get to be a part of it.
Yes. And for those who maybe have stepped away from church or kind of missed the whole idea of church, maybe, Gabe, could you just talk about, for somebody who doesn't really know how to get into the, you know, as you said earlier, his story, how does somebody who really has been away from church and feels like they want to get involved, they want to partner with God, but how they just, what would you say to that person?
You know, regardless of where we think we are spiritually, and I say this, I'm not projecting this onto anyone, but just from my own personal experience, we are all on a spiritual journey, whether we realize it or not. And I think of Ecclesiastes 3:11, that God has set eternity in the hearts of men, that for every one of us, we are on a spiritual journey. Now, we may not call it a spiritual journey, but we know that at the root of everything, it's a spiritual thing, right? I mean, we're the most real part of who we are. We're souls. That's your most real self, is your soul. You know, and if you cannot connect in it, just think about a funeral maybe you've been to. You look at a body in a casket and we've all said it, like, that's not them. Like, they're not even there. Like, you can see it. And so anyhow, with that, the most real part of ourself is our soul. And we're all on this spiritual journey. And as I just quoted from Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. And so what I would just encourage, first of all and foremost, you know, a lot of times we think of maybe even church as our point of reference in a spiritual journey. And I think that, obviously, I'm a pastor. Like, I want you to be in church. Like, if not our church, be in some church, like, be in a great Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. But I would even say this, that our point of reference is not even church. Our point of reference is knowing God. And that is, knowing God is not, it's more than an intellectual knowledge of God. It's an experiential knowledge of God. In fact, throughout the New Testament, the word for knowing God, it means just that. It's an intimate knowledge of God, an intimate experience with God. And, you know, as a church, we want to help facilitate that. And so we believe that the church is critical to your spiritual formation. But I would just say to the person who maybe is a skeptic or maybe searching, or like, understand that what God wants is a relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. In fact, we just celebrated Easter, and the Bible says that without the resurrection, our faith is futile. And so ultimately, God wants a relationship with you so much that he sent his son to die for your sin, to pay the price for your sin. And when we know God, when we experience and encounter God, we bring our sin and we trade it or exchange it for God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. And our sins are forgiven. We're made whole spiritually. And so ultimately, that's where the spiritual journey, in terms of encountering God, knowing God, it begins with Jesus Christ. And so the great news is for everyone is that you can surrender to God anywhere. You don't have to be in a church to make that decision to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, cleanse me of my sin. And in fact, I bet that in terms of our church, a lot of the people who come to know Jesus Christ within the context of our community, it even happens more so outside of the church setting than even within. And I say church in the building itself is what I mean.
Well, it's so much of what you said there. It's so well said, and you covered a lot of territory with what you said. One of the things that came up on our program last week with my friend Conley Gillum, who's part of that Navigators organization, I hadn't heard it put this way. Perhaps you've heard it before, but when she was speaking about Jesus' 3 days in the tomb, she talked about how really the tomb, and she used the phrase from tomb to womb, that there was this new life, new birth that came out of the tomb. And I just, that phrase has just kind of been bouncing around my head this week, and thinking about the new life. And Gabe, we're going to take a break here in just a second. So, but I wanted to see if maybe you could touch just real quickly on the difference between, I mean, there's a lot of great people historically who have died, and we honor them, you know, from the United States. Mm-hmm. You think about George Washington, and then there's, you know, people like Martin Luther King. But with Jesus's death, we honor that, but we worship the fact that there was a resurrection, and there's just a big, massive difference between the two.
Yes, amen. Do you want me to answer that now, Jeff, or do you want to wait till after the break?
We have about 30 seconds. Maybe any quick comments on the difference there?
Absolutely. Well, it's Jesus. Jesus, the life of Jesus wasn't like taken from him. Jesus came to lay his life down. Philippians 2:8, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends. And so ultimately, you know, we know that it's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus that like was the turning point of all of history. And as I shared earlier, 1 Corinthians 15, that, you know, apart from the resurrection, our faith is futile. And so this is what we're talking about here, the resurrection, the life of Jesus, resurrected life. This is like this is the linchpin of our Christianity.
It's good.
Of our faith.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with more of our interview with Gabe Turner. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. Not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program today, we have my good friend Gabe Turner. He's the lead pastor at the Point Church in Charlottesville. Gabe, I want to shift gears now. I want to talk about life post-resurrection. In other words, I want to ask you this question. So Easter happened. Now what? And I want, if you don't mind, could you maybe take us back historically, you know, kind of your perspective of what happened to the disciples, like immediately after the resurrection? What, where'd they go? What'd they do? And then as it sort of relates to you and me and our listeners, it's like, this is the high point of our faith, the resurrection, Easter, and now we're a week later. And now what? In some ways, I guess what I'm trying to relate it to is a terrible analogy, but it's almost like if this was a sporting event, you know, and again, forgive me for being sacrilegious here, but, you know, it's a week after the Super Bowl. Now what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, what's interesting when you look back to the, you know, the crucifixion of Jesus, and then there's the period of the 3 days, and on the third, you know, the tomb is discovered empty, Jesus is alive, that even the disciples, you know, you read on several occasions where Jesus had told them that this is the sequence of events, like, I'm going to be crucified, 3 days later, you know, I'm going to raise from the dead. He had told them, like, this is what's going to happen. Yet what's interesting is they still, like, they weren't connecting what for us in hindsight were these obvious dots, right? Or these obvious details. And I think it really does speak to when we are in a state of shock, even despair, in a state of like quick change where we have no mental map to navigate it, like how we can like kind of get lost and disoriented in a fog, right? I mean, we've all been there. We were all there a year ago when we were all looking up the word pandemic to find out what exactly this was, right? And so anyhow, when you look at where the disciples were at, it's just so incredible how like there, when they encountered the resurrection Jesus, it was so real to them that these disciples are now going to go out and they're going to die for their faith. They're going to lay their life down, right, for their faith. And I think it just really speaks to the power of the resurrection, the death to self. And Jesus defined, this is what it means to follow me, to take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I believe it is, like, I die daily. Like, this is a daily decision that we're making to lay our life down for Jesus. But we know that in laying our life down, we find life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that, too, we should not always think about that in terms of being a dramatic thing. You know, most of us will probably never have to die for our faith, yet we still have to make a daily decision to lay our life down for Jesus. And that's what discipleship is. That's what following Jesus looks like. And so that said, I think about even now, like, okay, so we're a week after Easter. What does that mean? And I can just speak for us in terms of our church, that what we have is we have a very kind of intentional process of discipleship that we believe aligns with the Word of God. And our way of doing things is not the only right way, but we believe that begins in knowing God. Like, that's where ultimately, you know, begins with a relationship with Jesus. I spoke to that a few minutes ago, where God wants to know us in a relationship with us, an intimate relationship with us. And so for us, this coming Sunday at our Charlottesville campus, or the week after Easter at our Charlottesville campus, we're celebrating with baptisms. Next Sunday at our Louisa campus, baptisms. And we've got many who are going to be taking the step of publicly, you know, going public with their faith, saying, you know, I'm with Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. Which we see that as a command in Scripture, to follow that decision to be baptized, with the decision to be baptized in obedience to the Word of God. And then we know that we say that this way, know God, find freedom, that ultimately God wants us to experience freedom, a deep freedom, freedom from our past. Every one of us has things in our past, decisions we made. We wish we could go back and undecide. And ultimately, where freedom is found is in the context of community. And so so we encourage people to take a step into community. We call those our groups. And so, Jeff, feel free to interrupt me, but I'll just keep rolling.
I like it. As for me, I'll take two scoops of freedom from my past.
Yes. Well, James, you know, James chapter 5, confess your sins and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, and so where does that happen? That happens in the context of community, confession and prayer, healing. You know, we need accountability. We need gospel-centered community. And really, it's impossible. Like you and I've talked about this before, both of us athletes in our past, we've talked about hamstring injuries, right? And how painful they are.
Yes.
Well, how many Christians are trying to run with God's purpose for their life, but they're running with this hamstring injury, right? Mm-hmm. And you're no, like God wants to touch that hamstring and heal it so you can run. Like you can run free, you can run healed. And so anyways, that's where the next step for us is. We want to help you discover your purpose. And so think about it. If you're free from your past, you're not constantly looking back in the rearview mirror, but you're free. Now you're able to run with the purpose. And so we have a step called Growth Track, which is helps people do just that, discover their unique God-given purpose. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, let him minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, every one of us, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit stamps a gift upon our heart. And that's what you were made for, new creation. You were created for that. And then we want to help you now make a difference, which is just simply taking your purpose, your gift, and connecting it to an area of service. And so, you know, we call that joining our dream team. And so for us in our setting, we have a process and the steps that we just help people just kind of, hey, like, take a step, take a step, take a step. Mm-hmm. And after you take those steps, then you start leading people to take those steps. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is this is ongoing process of discipleship that we're going through and that we're leading people through.
Yeah, and I can I definitely see the difference that it makes to be around other believers to encourage each other. I think that's biblical principle, but also to hold each other accountable.
Amen. You know, that, and you know, you didn't ask about the pandemic, but obviously that's something we've all walked through over the past 12 months or so. And I just have seen, because I've experienced the tension myself, how all of a sudden we're physically distanced and we're in quarantine, and that just translated to isolation for a lot of people. And why has the struggle been so intense? You know, let alone the pandemic and the questions and the doubts and maybe fears that people have carried. But then you look at the racial tensions that our country's experienced. You add on top of that the election year for the presidential election and just all of. And so people are now like, we're not face to face, like sitting across from the table from one another talking through these things. We're all in isolation. Like, and I'll just tell you, like, the enemy like loves to work on people's hearts and minds in isolation. And so it was just this really, really difficult season. And so just a perfect example. I had a good friend who once said this, that in isolation, I become who I want to be. It's in community with others that I become who God wants me to be. Mm. And there is a work when we miss out on community, there's a work that we miss out on. And when you're in isolation, you drift more and more down the path of self-orientation. And it's just, you know, it's just, you can start down an unhealthy path, and it's just a quick spiral, you know, downward.
Well, Gabe, we're winding up the show. I do want to go back real quick on memory lane. The first time I met you you were at a Starbucks, and I was a guy who was really just starting to read the Bible, and really, you know, kind of search the scripture. And I'm standing in line, and I see this young man with his Bible open and really kind of digging in and underlining. And so it kind of drew me over to you, and and I said, "Hey, what you reading?" And you know, looked at me friendly enough, and it was like Philippians, and it just happened to be one of those Navigator verses that I was memorizing, Philippians 4:6-7. And so we had this wonderful discussion about it, but my point that I wanted to thank you for and maybe encourage others was that, you know, feeling kind of the boldness to read God's word in public, it's amazing how that was the connection point for how we first met.
Yeah, it's just incredible. It's funny, I kind of joke because I had 3 or 4 offices back in our early days. And so the Starbucks on Pantops was one of my offices. Yeah, yeah. I wrote a lot of sermons from the Starbucks on Pantops, which is probably where we had that encounter. And,
yeah,
you know, it's just so, it's so cool when you're out in public like that, and the word of God is just kind of opening the table in front of you. You know, you just never know. You never know when someone sees that, what God is going to do, how he's going to stir up the heart. I think of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, that he's reading the scripture. Philip comes up to him in the chariot. "Hey, do you know what you're reading?" He says, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" It's just, you just never know when the word of God is out there, what God is going to do in and through it.
Well, Gabe, I want to pray for you, your wife, Carrie, your wonderful family, your extended family. I want to pray for the Point Church, my mother and all her colleagues at Westminster Canterbury, and all our wonderful listeners and supporters of this show. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Gabe Turner, thanks a bunch for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Heal a broken heart. Lend your presence overwhelm. Come restore.